more of this to show. Higher, higher in the school of wisdom, more grace to know. Oh, deeper yet I breathe, and higher every day, and wiser, blessed Lord, in thy precious holy word. Deeper, deeper, blessed Holy Spirit, take me deeper still, till my life is wholly lost in Jesus and His perfect will. Oh, deeper, oh, deeper yet I feel, and higher every day, and wiser, blessed Lord, in thy precious holy word. Every day in Jesus till all conflict pass. Find, conquer in that holy image, perfect with at last. Oh, deeper, oh, deeper yet I breathe, and wider every day. The original sin, the original world is what I believe. The Son of Man is revealed, the seventh seal is unveiled. The original light, the original sin, attributes were manifested to His bride in this last day. In the revelation by the last prophet's message, and we know who we are, in what we are, is our food, is our Lord. For the original life, the original life, hallelujah, the original sin, the original word, is what I believe, the Son of Man, the seventh seal is unveiled, the original life. Sin with Him, redeemed and perfect without sin. Yes, we are the anointed and inspired, our God, who's the original life, the original life. Hallelujah, the original sin, the original sin. that will. It's what I believe, what I believe. The Son of Man, the seventh seal is unveiled. Of understanding, He has opened up at last, and sweet victory is ours, who were chained down in the past. True jubilee has sounded, and we have responded to our God, who's the original. Whoa. Original sin, the original word is what I believe. The Son of Man, the seventh seal is unveiled. The original life, the original sin. We are to hold on to adoption. Authority and power. Big saints will wake and join us for translation in this hour. Gentile days will soon be over. Glory, alleluia, to our God, who's the original life. Sin, the original word is what I believe. The Son of Man, the seventh seal is unveiled. The original life, the original seal. Oh, the original. The original sin, oh, the original word is what I believe. The Son of Man is revealed, the seventh seal is unveiled. The original light, the original sin.
Do you greet you? In Jesus' name, there's not many of us, but one is a majority with God. You know, what I always love is the scripture when Elijah, when everything had fallen apart and there was drought in the land, but it just took one man, Elijah, to pray seven times, and you found the showers of blessing came down. You know, I really always do like those scriptures in the Bible. Even the prophet, when he speaks of different meetings and says the success of these meetings was because of these two ladies that were praying. You know, and many times he points to those kind of things. Let's open Luke chapter 7, just to get a thought before we come to prayer. Luke chapter 7. Let's read from there. We know the story well. It's the story about washing Jesus' feet. It's good to see Brother Dube back with from his operation. Bro, God bless you, bro. Luke chapter 7, this is when this woman comes and washes Jesus' feet. But we'll read from 44. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. Mine head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman has anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. You may be seated, saints. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. We just want to come to a time of prayer, but we just want to take a little bit of a thought from this scripture here. If we had to give it some sort of a title, we'd speak about personal ministration. And I'd say the most important thing, we can have fellowship one with another. We can have fellowship in various ways. We can have the Bible in our homes. We can have the message in our homes. But the most important thing that we need is the personal ministration of Jesus Christ. You know, as we come into these meetings this weekend, as we come into whatever the Lord has in store for us, you know, this issue of personal ministration, the personal ministration of Jesus Christ to the soul of a believer is something that is extremely important. That is the answer to any situation that we're in. When we speak of ministration, the word ministration speaks of relief. So maybe somebody needs relief. Maybe somebody is burdened down. Maybe somebody is bearing burdens and you're struggling. When there's a ministration, it's when the Lord ministers relief to you. It also means assistance. Maybe you're finding that it's too hard for you to bear the load that you're carrying. Or maybe it is your load to bear, but you need assistance. You need assistance in the things that you're doing. That also means comfort. Ministration is to minister comfort to somebody. That's why the Holy Ghost is called the Comforter. And finally, mercy. And many times we need mercy. We need mercy from the Lord. We need forgiveness. So when we're speaking about ministration, the Lord ministering to people, personally ministering to people, it covers just about every aspect of need that we have. You know, but one thing about the way that the Lord ministers, there's a certain approach to his ministration. You've got to come about things the right way. You can have a whole group of people gathered in a church, but you can find maybe there's one or two people that the Lord really ministers personal ministration to. You say, where do you get that from? From the story we've just read. Imagine in this story, the Simon the Pharisee invited all of his Pharisee friends. And he made a big feast. And he wanted to invite Jesus along because he wanted some entertainment. So he was going to use Jesus as the entertainment for the night. Now, that's one of the worst things that you can ever do. I remember Brother David Nash when he was here and he was praying that time. He says, Lord, we haven't come here to be entertained, but we've come here, Lord, to entertain you. You know, and that is a very important thing. Simon the Pharisee, he invited Jesus to come along, and Jesus keeps all his appointments. But when Jesus came, the people weren't looking for personal ministration from Jesus. Though it was a religious gathering, it was Pharisees. I'm sure there were a multitude of needs that those people had. Many of those Pharisees needed forgiveness. They needed mercy. Many of them needed deliverance from their sins of pride and whatsoever it was. And imagine the Son of Man himself, Jesus himself, came right to where they were at a personal invitation, because Simon sent an invitation to him. But Jesus never had an opportunity to personally minister to them. They had Jesus in their midst. Jesus was there. But there was only one person in the whole story that there was a personal ministration between Jesus and the soul of that person. And that was the woman that was a sinner who came with the alabaster box. Because she came about it a totally different way. And friends, this is a real key. The prophet speaks about the approach to God. He says, you can't just approach God anyway. And that is why quiet time and things like that are such important things in the house of God. Amen. You know, for people to prepare themselves, because it is so hard to expect the Lord to personally minister to your soul and if you don't approach things the right way. And that is why prayer meetings are so important, especially before we have meetings this weekend, because in order for the Lord to minister personal ministration, there's got to be a certain condition in the hearts of people. We've got to get ourselves into a certain condition so that the Lord can minister to us. Otherwise, like Jesus being there that day, he came at the invitation of these religious people. He came to their gathering and he sat there because he wasn't welcome. And because he wasn't welcome and he didn't feel welcome, he never ever, though he was the fullness of the Godhead, though he was the fullness of the attributes of Jehovah himself, he was Jehovah Jireh, all seven names of Jehovah, redemptive names. He was Jehovah Rapha. He was Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. He was Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. He was Jehovah Ra, the Lord is my shepherd. He had all of those attributes inside of him, Jesus. And as Jesus sat there as the word, he could discern and he knew the needs that each of those people had. But because they never made Jesus welcome, because of the way that they handled the Son of Man, although they had the Son of Man right there in their midst, there was no personal ministration to any of those Pharisees. And those Pharisees, they left that feast worse than when they came. But there was a certain woman who came who had a different kind of approach. And she approached the Son of Man himself, Jesus, in that age. And remember, saints, we're living in the age of the Son of Man once again. The Son of Man has been revealed, and the Son of Man is in his bride. And friends, it's quite an easy thing for us to have an invitation this weekend to invite the Son of Man to come. And he's going to come. But we've got to approach it the right way in order for there to be personal ministration between him and our souls. We can come to meetings. There can just be other kinds of meetings. And we can go back and be no better. But there's going to be certain people always that when the Son of Man is there, they're going to come with the right approach. They're going to make him feel welcome. They're going to approach him the right way. And there's going to be a personal ministration between the Son of Man and the souls of those people. And people that are burdened will be delivered from their burdens. And people that need answers will receive answers. And people that need the ministration of Jesus himself to minister to the situation that they're in, there's going to be a ministration. And friends, I'm sure you like me, there's that you desire not just to have meetings. You know, I don't mind who's there, who comes, who doesn't come. There's one thing that's the most important thing. Is firstly, there's two things. Firstly, that you make Jesus feel welcome. Let him be welcome. We've got to approach it the right way so that you make Jesus feel welcome. You know, sometimes it's better. You know it yourself. Sometimes when you have like house meetings and that and this, the people that are there are the people that want to be there. They're the people that really welcome Jesus. They're the ones that really want to be there. You find sometimes Jesus can bless in a real, real special way compared to sometimes when there can be a full church. And many of the people there, they don't really make Jesus feel welcome when they come. I find it so surprising when we're singing at church, even on Sundays, when we sing about the songs about I lift my hands. And there's only about 1/3 of the people that lift their hands to the Lord. It says, I lift my hands up unto your name, O Lord. And you wonder, but why do people not want to minister to the Lord? Because this woman came with an alabaster box and she ministered to Jesus. And look at the ministration that came back to her. He says, your sins, though they are many, are all forgiven you. Go in peace, thy faith has saved you. The Son of Man, the attributes of the Son of Man were personally revealed and expressed to the soul of that woman who came. But to nobody else. None of those Pharisees received any benefits from the Son of Man. Though it was the day of redemption, it was the acceptable year of the Lord. Imagine. They had Jesus in their midst, but they never ever benefited from it. Friends, it's easy to do that. Yes. It's easy just to take it as another meeting. It's just, let's not go. You know, and we don't take it seriously. But I really know, and you know, that every single time we take the things of God seriously and we approach it the right way, he always rewards us with personal ministration to us. He does something to you. And when you leave that place, there's a change in you. The situation has changed for you. Now, in those days when they had their feasts, we know how it was. They'd send out the invitations and the people would come from all over to the feast. And as they came to the feast, the prophet speaks about Jesus coming because he was given the invitation. And as they came to the feast, Jesus walking on those dusty roads of Palestine, where there was the manure and where there was the animals that were sharing the roads with the people, you would find that that manure and the droppings from the animals and the dust would mix together. And as they would be walking now down, whoever it was coming to the feast or wherever you would be going, you would find the dust from the road would be brushed up by the garments of the people that were walking like Jesus. And you would find that dust with that manure would come onto the sweaty bodies of the people and would mix and get stuck into the sweat so that people wouldn't smell very nice because of the journey. And then the prophet says about the the direct rays of the Palestinian sun. And as the person would be coming, you'd be walking, and it's like back home in Africa, and it's so hot. Or Lithuania, when it's summertime, and the sun is baking down, and you get burnt on your face and maybe burnt on your neck, and you don't feel comfortable, and the strength is taken out of you because of the heat. And you've come a long way. Imagine Jesus was given an invitation, and he came all of that way. And he walked those dusty roads, and he picked up that contamination from the road, and he got the effects of the Palestinian sun. So by the time you had come now to the place where you had been given the invitation to come to the feast, you didn't really feel in a condition to enjoy that feast. You weren't in any condition to feel really, really inside of yourself to greet the master of the house because of the condition that you were in. There needed to be something provided for you to prepare you before you met the master of the house, before you met whoever it was that had issued the invitation, before you could be given the kiss of blessing, the kiss that would make you feel welcome in the presence of the other guests that had been invited. The master of the house, the same one that had given the invitation, also ministered to your needs first. And the first thing that you needed to be washed of the smell of the road and of the dust of the road. Amen. And friends, it's the same as us. You can't just come from the journey out there, walking the roads of whatever your calling is, your occupation. Straight from out there, we come with the smell of the world upon us. We come with the influence of the world. We've been surrounded by the world. We've been surrounded by criticism, maybe temptation and all manner of things. And we come now to the feast when the master invites us to the feast, but we don't really feel comfortable at first when we get there if we don't prepare ourselves properly. Because like the prophet says, these Pharisees were very rich. And inside of their homes, they had the Persian, the Oriental rugs and carpets that were very expensive. They were very rich people. And if you came in there with the dust of the road upon you and sweaty and feeling burnt from the journey, you didn't really feel comfortable to go and walk on those Persian carpets. And you didn't really feel welcome that the master of the feast would come and give you a holy kiss to welcome you. Because you didn't smell right, you didn't feel right, you weren't refreshed yet from the journey. So the first thing that the man would do, he provided a servant, and that servant would wash your feet. You see, you didn't have to provide it for yourself because you were the one that was invited to come for the feast. So the one who was inviting you to the feast wanted to prepare you first before you came into his presence. He wanted to minister to you first so that by the time you came into his presence, you felt at home. You felt good. You felt that you were welcome. You felt comfortable in the presence of the guests, and you felt comfortable to greet the man that had given you the invitation to the feast. So you would sit down there. We know it very well. And then that servant, he would wash your feet and wash off all the dust of the road and wash off all the smell that you had picked up on the journey. And friends, how much we need that. Amen. You know, people that will come to meetings without being prepared, you're hardly ever going to receive anything from Amen. That meeting. Sometimes you will think you receive something, but you will never properly benefit from anything to do with the kingdom of God unless you approach it properly. Hallelujah. That's when you come with the right approach, you come prepared. It's not a rush and a hustle and a bustle and saying, but hey, we got to get there. No. You've been planning since the beginning of the day. We're going to the Lord's house. We're going to the feast. We've got some special meetings coming this weekend. Now, it happens with some saints. I've seen it. It's only on the Saturday morning when you have special meetings, they start to think about the special meetings. And they start, hey, no, come, we need to go to the special meetings today. And even on the Saturday morning, people are sending you text messages saying, what time are the meetings? Friends, it's very hard to really expect that you're really going to feel comfortable and you're going to be in a condition to make him feel welcome. And you're going to expect to have a real personal ministration to your soul if you don't esteem the things properly. But I really do believe that genuine believers, like we are here now, we've gathered here this evening, what for? With Saturday and Sunday in mind. Amen. We could have been doing this, that, and the other. But we want to be prepared. We want to prepare ourselves now. We want to get washed from the smell of the road tonight. Washed in the waters of the word first, and then come into his presence and be sanctified by his presence, so that the smell of the journey and the things that we picked up is washed off us. And because Jesus, the Son of Man, is the one that invites us to the feast, he's the one who provides the ministry, the ministration to prepare us if we're willing to go that way. So once your feet have been washed, they would take off your sandals first and put your sandals aside and wash you and your legs and your feet in pure water, and you'd start to feel better. And then they would take these satin slippers, the slippers that were made of real fine material, and they'd put those slippers on your feet, and you'd start to feel, now I can start to walk comfortably in the presence, in the home of the one that's invited me. And then you would come beyond that to the next stage. And the prophet says it all types the spiritual walk. The Lord making his people, preparing his people so they can come into his presence. You would then come to the next servant, and that servant would have the oil. And inside of the oil there was the rose of Sharon. The prophet says they would go up in the mountains where the roses had bloomed, and there'd be little buds that were left behind afterwards, and they would take those buds and crush them, and it would give a real sweet fragrance, and it was so expensive. And they would take that and mix it in costly oil. And you'd come to this next servant now, and he'd pour out the oil on your hands. And you'd anoint your face and all your neck and all over with this refreshing, invigorating oil. And then he'd give you a clean towel and you'd wipe yourself. And all of the sweat and all of the sunburn, and that it wouldn't feel the way that it did before. Something had been ministered to you, and you now felt far better than when you had first come. And that anointing upon you, and you are smelling good now. The prophet says, now you are ready to meet the master. Now you are ready. Now you felt in a condition that you didn't mind getting into his embrace. Why? Because you didn't worry. You didn't smell anymore of the journey that you just undertaken. You didn't smell. You didn't feel uncomfortable. And then you would come now, and the master of the feast would come to you, and you'd greet you with an embrace and a kiss. And that was the kiss of welcome. And once you were given the kiss of welcome, you felt at home in the house. You felt it was your house. And friends, how wonderful it is to come to church. Amen. To wait upon the Lord in the quiet time. To wait upon him in the word. Amen. Then when the song worship comes, you're not thinking of a lot of other things. You're not thinking of the activities of the day. You're not thinking of those things in your life. But you're meditating on the words of the songs that are being sung. And you're making Christ welcome. You're ministering to him in the worship. You're ministering to him in the songs. And as prayer is made, you're together in heart with the person who's offering a prayer on behalf of the meeting. Amen. By the time now it comes to the word, when the Lord wants to come down, you've already received the kiss of welcome. You've already got the blessing. You've already got the anointing, the oil upon you. You've already been washed. You feel at home in his house. You're under an expectation that this is going to be a good time, because you feel at home. But friends, it's not a nice feeling. And you've had it, and I've had it as well, that you get into a meeting and you just don't feel at home. And other people are rejoicing, and other people are receiving something. There's a personal ministration of Jesus to the soul of people. But you're not prepared. You haven't come prepared. You're still smelling from the things of the world. You're still feeling uncomfortable from the Palestinian sun. You know, you don't really feel at home there. And it takes you time to settle down. And that is why I really do believe that there's power in preparation. There's tremendous power in preparation. You know, Jesus, every time you do something, go and read your Bible, he'd never do anything without praying about it first. Before he chose his disciples, he went in a mountain and he prayed all night. When he came to his baptism, it says, while he prayed, the Holy Ghost came upon him. He was in prayer. He went to Mount Transfiguration. He took Peter, James, and John apart to pray. That's why they went there. You'll go and find every time. Before the greatest conflict of Calvary, you found him in Gethsemane in prayer, taking his disciples for prayer. There's such a power of preparation in prayer. There's something about it, approaching it the right way. And I really do believe the Lord desires that. So, you preparing yourself just as much as the guests were preparing themselves. But imagine Jesus gets you that day. and they never washed his feet. They never gave him the oil to anoint his head. And he was never given a kiss of welcome. And that's why, though all the attributes of redemption were in him, and he had such an unction and an anointing, he had the spirit without measure. Imagine how much he could have ministered to Simon, and he could have ministered to all of the people that were there. But you know, Jesus never forces himself upon anybody. You know, if you don't make him feel welcome, the prophet says there was Jesus sitting in the corner with dirty feet. He was feeling unwelcome. So there was nothing in the approach of the people, or nothing in the atmosphere that the people had created in Simon the Pharisee's house to bring forth the attributes that were inside of Jesus. So all of those attributes, as anointed as they were, to be able to minister to all of the needs of the people. Forgiveness where it was needed, deliverance where it was needed, healing where it was needed, to answer their perplexing questions where it was needed. Everything was in him. The anointed word himself, Jesus. The message of the hour, the Son of Man himself. And they had him right in their midst. And they invited him to come, and he came. But because they never made him feel welcome, there was no ministration to their souls. Until that lady came. And when that immoral woman, the worst sinner in the city, an ill-famed woman, Jesus says, your sins, though they are many. She had many sins. But when she had heard that Jesus was there, and the prophet puts it in the drama, and she came and she looked through the gate, and she looked and she saw Jesus sitting there with dirty feet, something moved inside of her. And she wanted to do something to minister to Jesus. And friends, that's a really important thing. And that is why the ministry of music is so important. You find Brother George, Brother Vlad, Brother Mike, and the brothers, when they prepare and practice some music and that is such an important thing. They are ministering themselves to Jesus, and they are helping the sons and daughters of God through their ministry so that people can minister to Jesus. And friends, if we don't minister to him, we don't get much ministry back. That's the truth of it all. You go to church and you don't minister to Jesus. You see, people don't even sing sometimes. And you wonder, but what will it make people? What will people need to do to sing to Jesus? But friends, even if you don't feel like singing, the prophet says, offer a sacrifice of praise. Just lift up your hands. Even if you feel, I don't want to lift my hands today, but no, I'm singing to Jesus. I'm going to lift up my hands and bless his name. Even if you don't feel like singing some of the songs, even if you say, but that's not quite the right tune or whatever, it doesn't really matter, friends. We're not doing it for one another. What are we here for? I'm coming this weekend with one desire, is the personal ministration of the Son of Man to my soul. That's what I want. Whether nobody else comes on Saturday, that's okay. It's up to people. This is free will, friends. But as for me and my house, I desire the personal ministration of the Son of Man in this age to minister to me. I need his ministration. And when he sends his servants away and he sends gifted men, the fivefold ministry, you get what you expect. And you come with the right approach, and God is going to anoint the gift inside of a man. And God is going to personally minister to the needs that you and I have. But we've got to approach this right way. We've got to be prepared first. And friends, it's so wonderful to prepare yourself. Amen. You know, me, I always, when there's meetings, I just stop looking on the internet, reading anything else for that week. Just stay away from all the things that can make you smelly on the journey. Who needs to know about the news when you're coming up to meetings? Who needs to really know about what's happening on YouTube, what's happening in politics? Forget about it. It's good just to shut those things off, Facebook, Twitter, whatever there is out there. Just leave those things for a season. Get in the Word. Hallelujah. And put on the messages and spend time in prayer. And come out of the confusion of maybe the way that you've been walking, and give opportunity for the Lord to make you still and quieten you down, and let your thoughts become clear and your mind get focused, and start to get a purpose inside of your heart that I desire the personal ministration of the Son of Man. And I believe approaching meetings like that. And when it comes to meeting times, friends, let's be on time. Let's not be rushing to try to get there on time, because it's very hard for everybody when it's like that. But how wonderful, the prophet says, when you find people that come and they quiet and they're soft. In the seals book, he says, and they've prepared themselves in that half hour. And Sister Gertie, he says, is playing the piano quietly. He says, you're going to hear from heaven. He says, you can't but hear from heaven. It's all in the preparation, friends. It shows. You find if people come for prayer meetings, or if people are on time for the services on Saturday and that, it shows those people, it's not something that's just coming their way. It's an important thing to them. It's something they want to bless him, and they desire a blessing from him. And you always get what you expect. Hallelujah. And so Jesus, he sat there. And then finally, this woman came with the alabaster box. And she came through all of the criticism, and she didn't worry about the atmosphere that was there that day. And she broke that alabaster box, and she poured it out upon him. And she ministered to him. And she started to kiss his feet. And she started to wash them with her tears, tears of repentance. And she took her hair and she dried. And then Jesus turned to Simon and said, Simon, you invited me to come, but you never made me welcome. He says, but this woman, ever since she came, she hasn't stopped kissing my feet. You never kissed me. She hasn't stopped kissing me. You never anointed me with oil. You never washed my feet. She's washed me with her hair. She's anointed me with the oil from the alabaster box. And then the Son of Man ministered personally to her. And he turned to her. And maybe for the first time ever inside of her life, there was a personal experience between her and Jesus Christ. And he spoke directly to her situation. And he spoke to her circumstances. And he spoke to exactly where she was. And when he spoke, what a difference it made. Amen. And I don't think there's anybody here could ever imagine that when that lady left there, she was the same. You can never believe that she went back to her old immoral ways. Never. She was a true disciple now because she had approached things the right way. She had made Jesus welcome. And in making Jesus welcome, it brought forth the attributes that were in him. The attributes of mercy and the attributes of forgiveness and the attributes of comfort, the attributes of deliverance, whatever she needed. There was a personal ministration of the Son of Man to her. And saints, I would say, let's really pray for that this evening. Pray for yourself as an individual. Pray for each and every one of us that the Lord will grant us a personal visitation. You may have questions in your life. You may have situations that you don't have the answer. You may have circumstances in your home, with your children, whatever it is, that you don't know how to handle certain things. You've got big questions inside of yourself. All it needs is him to set his attention upon you and his personal ministration to you. And that's the thing that changes the circumstances. Let's stand. Let's sing one song. And let's come and just put ourselves before the Lord today. And what a wonderful thing it would be if the Lord could just start something in us now that could continue on right up to Saturday as we come and sit down in the first of the meetings, that the Lord could be washing us and anointing us and making us feel that you want to welcome the things that are to come, that you could make him welcome, and that we could come and feel at home in his house as we gather in his house on Saturday. Let's sing that just at chorus. We haven't sung it in a long time. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Holy Spirit, I welcome you. Come with power this very hour. Holy Ghost, we welcome you. You know it, right?
I can get it. Raul, can you start it?
Okay, let's choose another one if the brother. Those are nice songs, those friends. It's good to practice those ones as well.
We have come into this house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into this house, gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into this house, gathered in his name to worship Christ alone. Worship Christ alone. Just forget about about yourself. Said about yourself. Stayed on him and worship him. Oh, just forget about yourself. Concentrate on him and worship him. Forget about yourself. Just forget about yourself. Concentrate on him and worship Christ alone. Oh, worship him, Christ alone. Let us lift up all the earth. Let us lift up hope, lift up holy hands and worship. Oh, let's lift up holy hands. Let us lift up holy hands. Name and worship Christ alone. Oh,
gathered in his name to worship. Oh, we have come into this house, gathered in his name to worship Christ alone.
Before the Lord, saints, let's remember each other, let's remember the meetings on the weekend. Heavenly Father, how we do desire to approach unto thee upon this evening, Lord, to thank you, Father, that you've given us an opportunity.
Let us play our parts, Lord. Father, Lord Jehovah, even Lord Savior, Father, under thine anointing, Lord Savior God, guide us now, hear us now, keep us now, feed us now, Lord Savior, even of that we desire. We ask and commit, Lord Savior, this fellowship this time before thee, in thy holy and most gracious name.
So let's just read another scripture before we come to take in requests. Let's look in the book of John, chapter 11. You know, it's always good just to have one time of prayer for people just to get their minds clear. And then let's just take a thought now from the Word. Remember, our thought is personal ministration. You know, just on the weekend when we were speaking about the Holy Ghost, we were speaking about that personal visitation, personal revelation of Jesus Christ to the soul. You know, it sounds a small thing, that, but it's the most profound thing that ever happens to anybody, is the personal visitation of Christ to the soul of a person. And if we be honest, friends, we have a lot of believers, even in our midst, young people and different believers that need that, need a personal visitation of Jesus Christ to bring a real new birth. But so that's what we spoke on the weekend, but now we're speaking about personal ministration. Now, every single one of us, no matter how long you've been a believer, we all have situations and circumstances. If we would sit and if I was the prophet today and the pillar of fire could come down and could look into the hearts of each and every one of us here, each of us have certain deep questions or deep needs or things that we don't understand or things that we so much would desire for the Son of Man himself to minister to us. And friends, Jesus, the same one that used to come down on the platform, the Logos himself, when the prophet was there to bring a personal ministration to the people in the prayer line, to tell them their hearts, to tell them their needs, to minister to whatever situations were, that same pillar of fire is in his bride. Amen. Friends, and It's just such a sad thing to think that many times when the Lord really comes and anoints and his presence is there, that sometimes people don't take advantage to allow a personal ministration to them at that time. That people can come right into the presence of the Son of Man and go out just the same, like they did in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ. But friends, it needs a personal ministration. And any believer has that thirst inside of their soul, that whenever there's a gathering of believers together, when we gather in his name, he's given us such a precious promise that we're two or three gathered in my name, there I will be in the midst of them. But that's not enough for a believer. Just to know that Jesus is in your midst is not enough. Because Jesus was in the midst of the Pharisees in Luke chapter 7. But it didn't benefit the people. Jesus was right in the midst of Israel 2,000 years ago. But how many people really received personal ministration from the Son of Man to personally minister to their situation? We sometimes run to so many different people to ask them for advice. We'll ask this person, we phone people here, then everywhere. We ask advice from all sorts of people. There's one person we need to ask advice from, and that is the person of the Holy Ghost, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And to approach him the right way. And then to come with an expectation that there's going to be a personal ministration. And if we prepare ourselves, the prophet says you get what you expect every time. If you come clothed in expectation, if you've got your soul, the ground of your heart broken up so that it's prepared ground once again, you're going to receive something from the Lord. Friends, you can't but help to receive something. Let's look at a couple of scriptures here. Maybe just to go, just leave John 11. Go to Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 3. There's just two verses that I was reading today and I was thinking of these things. You know, when Jesus speaks on the parable of the sower, you know, the incredible thing is, the parable of the sower, he speaks of four different types of ground. And the same seed that's sown into each of those four types of ground. And then he goes on to interpret the parable and he says, the seed is the word of God. And the seed, it's the word of God that the Son of Man himself sowed. So the word can be sown. But there were those people, that ground that was hard ground. It was unprepared ground. And the seed fell in it by the wayside. It had been trodden down. It wasn't prepared ground. And that seed got eaten straight by the birds. And Jesus says, that's like people in the world. This people that his hearts are hardened by sin. No matter how much you tell them about heaven and hell and judgment and mercy, it just has no effect inside of their lives. Because they're hard. There's nothing that the word can take root inside of them. The word just comes, it just doesn't find any place that it can bed itself. And the devil, the birds of the air, the prophet says, is the devil. He comes and he takes away that word. Now I'm sure you wouldn't desire to come this weekend and have this sower sowing the seed. Imagine the Son of Man himself coming down and anointing gifts in men to sow. And he might even sow a seed directly to your circumstances. He may sow a promise, or he may quicken something which is exactly what the Lord was ministering to bring deliverance to you. But that's not enough. It's not enough for the sower just to sow the seed. There's got to be preparation in the ground. The ground has to be ready to receive the seed. Otherwise, it absolutely does you no good. Then he says in the second type of ground was sown among thorns. That's a serious thing, that again. No, I think the second one, he sowed it on the rock where there wasn't much soil. And he says, and that's like people that receive the word with joy and they get all emotional in church and they can sing and dance and run up and down in church until you think they're the most victorious people in the world. But there's no depth in the experience. Their hearts are not prepared properly. Their hearts are still unregenerate, but they can receive the influence of the word for a season. And then he says, and when they go out, then the persecution and that arises and they get offended and they leave it. Then he says, and the third group was those when the seed was sown among the thorns. And he says, and the seed started to grow and it was growing. But he says, then the cares of this life and the riches and all those things come and choke that word and it doesn't bring forth fruit to perfection. Then he says, but the fourth group, the seed was sown on prepared ground. It was good ground. It was soil that was ready to receive the seed. Now, friends, the soil by the wayside is the same soil that's in the field. The soil that's got the thorns is the same soil that you find anywhere else. It's not different categories of people that we're speaking about, that these are a better caliber than somebody else. It was all in the preparation. That's what made the difference. This ground had been prepared properly, so when the seed was sown, it could find root. There was moisture. It could germinate. And Jesus says, bringing forth fruit 30-fold, 50-fold, 100-fold, bringing forth fruit. And now look in Jeremiah chapter 4. Look what he says in verse 3. He speaks a very similar thing in the book of Jeremiah. He says, "For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among the thorns." You know, that fallow ground, the fallow ground is ground that once was sown. It once brought forth a harvest at some stage. But now it's been left and it hasn't been plowed. And the thorns haven't been taken out and the weeds haven't been taken out for a season. And it's been trodden by the livestock and different things. And the top surface of the fallow ground has become hard and it's been baked by the sun. And even when the moisture comes and the rain comes on that kind of soil, many times it can't soak in because it's hard. And there's thorns and there's big clods and sometimes there's stones and there's accumulation of things. And the Lord says, when the Lord wants to come and sow, don't let your heart be like that. But he says, break up the fallow ground. Break it up through prayer and repentance and the prophets and fasting and sorrow for sin. You see, break it up, plow up. And sometimes it's hard work to plow a field. But you're never going to get a good harvest unless you do that work first. And let this preparation first, that hardness that is in your experience. No, Christians can get like a crust over their soul. Like a hardness can come in because of disappointments and discouragements and different things. And you've got to really sometimes get yourself in a process of prayer. Get yourself in a process of seeking the Lord. Get yourself in a process of repentance and humbling yourself before the Lord to break up that fallow ground once again. And it's a process. It's never going to just be one prayer is going to be enough. That's a good starting point. You may come to the altar. You may call upon the name of the Lord. You may look back in your life and confess your sins before the Lord. And you'll find things start to break up. There comes a softness inside of your experience once again. There comes a bit of a tenderness inside of your heart. You find now you've got a little bit of a sensitivity once again to the spiritual things. And you come from praying like that and you've been trying to repent before the Lord and search your life, confess your sins and humble yourself. You find when you read the word after that, it has a little bit of impact finally. Maybe before that, when you were trying to read your Bible, it's like your mind is somewhere else. That word doesn't do any good to you. But now it brings you to a stage of sensitivity. Now, if you just continue on that way, realizing that the devil is the master of distraction. He's the greatest one that's there to distract you from the real course. Like the prophet in that message, washing Jesus' feet, he says, like, you'll make up in your mind that I want to really minister to the Lord today. I want to worship the Lord. And he says, maybe you sisters, you say, today when I'm washing the dishes, I'm going to make Jesus welcome. He says, and then Sister so-and-so phones and says, hey, sister, we're going to go down to the shops. Would you like to come with us? And Jesus is forgotten and you go down to the shops. He says, that's how easy it is. When the Lord started to do something, starting to try to bring you to a stage of preparation, it's so easy to be distracted. So easy to get caught up in other things and you find it's an incomplete work. And then in the end, that ground which is fallow, if you just do a little bit of work in it, it goes back to the same condition that it was before. But he says there, he says, thus saith the Lord, break up your fallow ground and sow not among the thorns. And friends, I really, really pray that each and every one of us as we come this weekend, it's not going to be sowing among the thorns. It's not going to be sowing on hard, unfertile soil. But that now when we have prayer, tomorrow by the grace of God at the family altar, in your own personal time when you close the door to your secret closet, that you get down to business with the Lord. Not so much worrying about other people at first, but looking at the condition of your own spiritual experience. You know, and really seeking the Lord and searching your heart and just saying, Lord, I want to be prepared ground for your word. Lord, I want the spirit of expectation to be upon me. I want to be like Simeon in the temple, but when the word came in, even in its infancy, I was so sensitive that the spirit can lead me straight to where the word is. That's kind of a condition where you've got an expectation. But friends, it doesn't come by itself. I've got my part I've got to play. You've got your part you've got to play. We've got to break up this fallow ground. We've got to remove these thorns and remove the weeds and break those clods of earth that have got hard and that are no longer able now to show forth any fertility. And you've got to plow up that ground and put some sweat and some toil into it. But friends, the results are so wonderful. Because once that seed is sown, it quickly finds a bedding ground. And you find it takes root. And after a few days, you start to see the shoots coming forth. Speaking of a great harvest that's to come. And that's the wonderful thing about preparing to meet the Lord. Look what he says in Hosea chapter 10. In Hosea, just after the book of Daniel. Hosea is the next book, I think. Hosea chapter 10. The book of Hosea, chapter 10, immediately after Daniel, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, chapter 10. He says, listen what he says in verse 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness and reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. You know, I was reading that verse in detail in the Bible today on my computer. When it says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord. That means it's the right season now to seek the Lord. Friends, there's the seasons that come. We can't always do it. You can't always be desperate inside of your experience. The human frame is not made always to be desperate. You can't always separate yourself from all things and seek his face with all your heart, because you're going to have to go back to college. You're going to have to go back to working. But there's certain seasons where you know now is a season that I can prepare myself. It's a season to seek the Lord. And he says, for it is time to seek the Lord until he come and rain righteousness upon you. Friends, that's when the Lord can come and do wondrous things. When you say, I'm going to seek the Lord now. I'm going to break up this fallow ground. If I've got anything to make right, I'm going to make it right. Whatever's causing this hardness inside of me, and many times like criticism, whatever's bringing this criticism inside of my life, this critical spirit, you've got to like get into some spiritual warfare for a season. And like we said on Sundays, sometimes it needs fasting. Because some of those things are only broken by fasting and prayer. And fasting allows you to put a focus on spiritual things. That when you've got a full stomach, you won't be able to have that focus. The prophet says when you're fasting, all the blood goes to your brain. Instead of to your stomach. And you can be sensitive to what it is the Lord's trying to say to you. But when you're not fasting, you eat a lot. The blood goes to your stomach and you feel heavy. And you feel dull. And you don't feel as sensitive as you should be. And friends, there's these kind of seasons, I really do believe, where it's so wonderful to break up this fallow ground. To say it's now time, it's now the season to seek the Lord. So that he can come and he can sow his seed inside of my experience. So that he can come and once again he can minister to me in the situation that I am. You know, when you're speaking of personal ministration, the story that always comes to my mind as we finish on that is that one of Martha and Mary and Lazarus. You know, Martha and Mary and Lazarus had Jesus in their home many times. And they would minister to Jesus. And it was a blessing. And I'm sure Jesus, he answered their questions. I'm sure Jesus, he ministered to them in many, many ways. But there came a time where there came a great disappointment. When Lazarus died, they didn't have answers to the situation that they were going through. It was a dark time. It was like a crisis in their experience. And when they were in that midst of that crisis and all the people were coming to mourn with them and there was the gloom and the darkness and there was the confusion and the sorrow. Friends, They had been faithful to the Lord, so the Lord is going to be faithful to them. In due season, Jesus came into town. But what I really like about that story is that Martha had to shake herself. She had to come out of that fellowship that she was in. She had to come out of that place of sorrow. She had to leave her house where there was the sackcloth and the ashes and all of the weeping and the wailing. She was never, ever going to find the answer to her situation when she stayed in that kind of a condition. But you find Martha, she heard that the Lord had come. And what did she do? She rose up and it says she went to meet him. And friends, we need to do that. Sometimes we sit back in our condition and we're waiting for the Lord to come to us. Friends, the Lord's already come in this age. Spiritually, the pillar of fire has already come. The message has already come. Everything that we need is there. But sometimes we've got to shake ourselves a little bit and say, but okay, it's enough now. I can't stay in this kind of a condition like this. Things are never going to get better in this condition. I need to go to where he is. And you find it says she came to where the Lord was. And as she came now into the presence of the Son of Man, we've spoken of it before. And Jesus was walking in the vision. And he was anointed with the anointing of the resurrection at that time. He had exactly the anointing upon him in that season to minister exactly to the crisis that they were in. But they had to come out of that gloom and all of the people speaking to them and all the confusion that she was in. She had to leave that behind and come to where he was. And sometimes, friends, we need to do that. We need to shake ourselves and say, I'm not going to listen to anybody else anymore about the situation. I'm going to shut myself in. I want to come to where he is. And she came into his presence. And then she said, Master, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. She had faith in him. She had fellowship with him. But she didn't yet have the answer. She yet didn't have the faith that was required to see a change in that situation. She had general faith, but she needed the personal ministration of the Son of Man personally to her about her situation. Then the situation was going to change. But she had to come to where he was. And she had to stay in his presence long enough for him to personally minister the faith that was required to that situation. And imagine at the beginning of that chapter, when Lazarus dies, you find Jesus coming into town. To him, everything's under control. He's walking in the vision. His father showed him the purpose. He says, this is happening for the glory of God. And then you see Martha and Mary down there, and they're weeping and they're wailing, and oh, life has fallen apart now. Who's going to minister to our needs? Lazarus was the breadwinner in the house. We're orphans. What's going to happen to us now? Friends, it's up to us sometimes to shake ourselves out of that condition a little bit and get to where he is. But the moment that she got herself into the presence of the Son of Man and he started to minister personally to her, she said, Lord, if you had have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And then Jesus started, he says, your brother shall rise again. And she says, I know that he'll rise in the general resurrection. She had enough faith on that. Then Jesus says, but I am the resurrection and the life. You see, he started to minister exactly to her soul. And as she stood in that presence, and he started to sow that seed inside of her, she started now to believe for the answer to the situation that she was in. And then she goes and gets Mary, and she brings Mary as well. And then they had a part to play. And then Jesus says, you remove the stone. And then Jesus came forth and he showed the answer to their situation. But it's never going to just be easy that Jesus is going to come and knock on the door and do everything for us. You think of blind Bartimaeus. Maybe blind Bartimaeus had heard all the story. Bartimaeus says he knew all the stories from the Bible. He knew about Jehovah and what he had done. Maybe Bartimaeus had heard that there was a great prophet in the land that was healing the sick and opening the eyes of the blind. Maybe he had heard all of those things. Maybe Bartimaeus even had heard, you know, Jesus is coming into our town today. But none of those things would help him in the situation he was. You know what he needed? He needed the personal ministration of the Son of Man to him. Then his situation was going to change. And then finally, God's grace passes by. It was a time of visitation. The people are telling him, hey, Bartimaeus, Bartimaeus. And he says, who's that? I said, this is the Son of David. This is the one that the prophet spoke of. He's passing by. And Bartimaeus realized, I've got to do something. I can't just sit here. If I sit here, nothing's going to change. I'm going to stay in the same blind condition that I am. And it says, and he rose. And I love the way Branham says it. He threw away his robe, his beggar's robe. Branham says he didn't fold it up and put it down so that if things didn't work, he's going to come back and find it again. He threw it away. He says, now's my time. And he came to where Jesus was. But there was opposition. People were saying, be quiet. But he shouted even louder. People were telling him, sit down. But he pushed his way through the crowd. People maybe were saying, don't bump. Don't be rude. He didn't care what the people were saying. He knew, it's my chance. Something is declaring itself to me. But just knowing that Jesus was there wasn't enough. Friends, just knowing that Jesus is true to his word in the Bible isn't enough. Just knowing that the Son of Man has come in this generation to reveal himself and prepare a people for a body change isn't enough. Just knowing that Jesus is in the message of the hour isn't enough to solve your situations. Just to listen to the messages isn't enough. You need personal ministration. But when Bartimaeus now came right into his presence, then there was a personal ministration now. And he said, what do you want that I do to you? And he says, that I might receive my sight. He says, go thy way. Thy faith has made you. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. And friends, you find all these stories in the Bible. The woman with an issue of blood, it wasn't enough just for her to know that Jesus could do those things. Or that Jesus was in town that day. That doesn't help you personally. She had to press through herself. She needed a personal touch from the Lord. Personal ministration to her situation. And friends, all of us have those things. We need a personal touch from the Lord. We need personal answers to the situations we've got. People maybe don't know what to do next in their life. There's no need speaking to other people about it. No need sitting down and feeling sorry for ourselves. The best thing we need to do is need to rise up. Amen. And we need to seek him. Find, where is he? And friends, it doesn't take long when you set your heart to say, I'm going to find him. I'm going to seek him until I find him. I want personal ministration from the Son of Man himself. I want him to minister a personal answer to my personal situation. It doesn't take long until he draws near, friends. Hallelujah. That great Logos, the pillar of fire, is going to draw near. And if you come with that sort of an attitude to the meetings this weekend, maybe you've got problems in your home, you've got problems with your children, problems with your finances, problem in your health, problem in whatever situations that we have, friends. Jesus has a personal answer to your personal situation. And if we'll approach it the right way, I believe heaven and earth will pass away before he doesn't pass your way. To minister a personal ministration to the situation that you're in. And that's what sets you free. That's what changes the situation that you're in. When Jesus and you come together in a conference and he ministers personally the answer to what you need. But friends, sometimes it's a process to get yourself there. And that's why preparation is such an important thing. Because Jesus might pass by this weekend. He may come with this unction. He may come with this anointing. He may come, even the pillar of fire may come down in the meeting. But friends, if our hearts are hard, our hearts have got a crust over them. Our experience is dry. We're not sensitive at all to hear the voice of the Lord or to sense the leadership of his spirit. We're going to find ourselves in trouble because Jesus is going to pass by and we're going to be left like the other beggars that were sitting with Bartimaeus. They were still blind at the end of the day. But you know what the prophet says? He says, Bartimaeus that day, maybe he was thinking when he sat down there on those old stones of the walls of Jericho. He sat down there and he was thinking back to the days gone by. He was thinking of the stories his mother had told him. He was even thinking of those very stones and the great victory that Joshua had brought when the walls of Jericho came down. And he was thinking of the great things that God had done in the past. And when he was meditating on those things, Jesus passed by. Amen. And friends, that is the key. Amen. If your mind is full of the cares of this life, if your mind is full of the politics of this world, if your mind is full of whatever it is, it's very hard for the Lord to do what he wants to do. And that's to bring a personal ministration. When you come into the house of the Lord and your mind is confused, and it's spinning with the business of this life. No matter how anointed the man is who may stand in front, No matter how much it may be a word in season which the Son of Man is delivering personally to you, but without a preparation, without a coming out of that condition that you're in to find where he is, something inside of you seeking him with all of your heart, you're going to find that that word of deliverance, that word, maybe the Jubilee trumpet sounding to sound deliverance to the captives in your condition, you find it doesn't do you any good. And it passes you by. And friends, I've been in meetings like that. Where others have been ministered to and I wasn't. I've been in meetings where you know I'm missing out here because I'm not in the right spiritual condition. It's not a nice feeling. But friends, for us who are here tonight, there's no need for us to come like that. We've prayed once already. We're going to come to pray now once again. Let's press in. Let's call upon his name. Let's say, Jesus, please, while on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Let's start to plow up the fallow ground. If you've got unforgiveness, if you've got worldliness, if you've got folly and foolishness inside of your heart, you can't change yourself. But you've got to just come with a sincere desire before the Lord and say, Jesus, please help me, Lord. I want to break up these hard clods in my experience. I want to break up this ground. I want to pull out these weeds that I've allowed to accumulate. And I believe by the time you come on Saturday, because friends, the best of our repentance, the prophet says, needs to be repented of. None of us can repent the way that we should. Even our repentance needs repentance. But that is why God is so gracious. Because when he sees the desire, the seed thought inside of you rising up to say, I desire a change in my life. I desire personal ministration in my experience. He meets you halfway, even more than halfway, like the father of the prodigal son. He comes running to meet you. Even when he just sees that your intent and your purpose, those are the only things that have lined up properly in your experience. But friends, I would really believe that tonight, if we pray once again, and then as we come now on Saturday to the house of the Lord, tomorrow, in your own devotions before the Lord, when you shut yourself in before the Lord, like the prophet said, you sisters, when you wash the dishes, when you do your vacuuming in the house, whatever, be ministering to the Lord. Be saying, Jesus, I want you to be welcome in my heart this weekend. I just want to have the right condition inside of my soul, Jesus. And I want to minister to you. And sometimes the best way to minister to the Lord is not to think of all your troubles. You start to minister and thank him for the things that he's done. Like David meditating in the night watches of all the great victories that the Lord had led him through in days gone by. Start worshiping the Lord and thanking him for salvation. Thanking him for his grace. Thanking him for the message of the hour. Thanking him for brothers and sisters in Christ. Thanking him for all the things that have been testimonies inside of your life. And you find when you start to minister to him, you start to make him feel welcome. Start to see the attributes of redemption start to unfold to you once again. I believe we need it, friends. We need to break up that fallow ground. We don't want to just come to sit down once again and say, oh, well, there's going to be some meetings this weekend. I don't like doing that. I don't like coming into the house of the Lord. And you know inside of yourself, I'm not in the right spiritual condition. Then you find the song worship comes, but you're not even thinking of the words of the songs. You're not even entering into worship through the songs. But instead, it's just a robotic motion that you're going through just singing the songs because you've sung them before. And when it comes to the end of the service, you go home and what change has there been? But friends, Jesus doesn't desire that. I don't believe he desires the gathering of the saints together just so that we go back the same condition that we were. I believe he wants to minister personally to us. That he wants there to be a personal ministration between the Son of Man and your own soul. And if you seek it, the Bible says, seek and you shall find. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. And let's call upon his name. And seek his grace and his mercy as we gather this weekend for us and our brethren, some at work tonight, some at different places. Let's pray for them who haven't been able to pray for themselves tonight. And let's really ask Jesus, please, this weekend, bring a personal ministration to us. Let it be something personal. Let it be something special. Maybe it won't be full of emotion. Maybe it will. But let it be a personal ministration to my soul of the Son of Man. And friends, that kind of a special meetings, you never forget them. You've got your milestones in your life that you look back and you can remember. I remember that time there, the Lord was so precious to me. And you'll never forget those messages. You'll never forget those times the Lord visited you. Let it be like that once again. And let's start breaking up the fallow ground. Let's start seeking in the season that it is now to seek the Lord. that he may come and rain righteousness upon us. Let's stand. Let's sing that song, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. We'll sing just the first two verses and the chorus. And let's come once again to a time of prayer. Does anybody have any other requests? Brother Mike is sick. Let's remember Brother Mike. He sent a message saying, please, if you can remember him, Brother Mike and Sister Gloria. Sister? For you. Let's pray for Sister Dubi's father as well. He's not well. We put that before the Brother Willie. Oh, yeah. Brother Mike's really requesting for prayer. Let's pray for Brother David. It's already been prayed for. Let's put these meetings before the Lord, that the Lord may stir up the hearts of his people and the Lord may minister to that desire.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art pouring, oh, do not pass me by, my Lord and Savior, oh, Savior, hear my humble cry.
Heavenly Father, we dedicate ourselves up unto thee as we go from this place this night. Father, you heard every prayer that has been prayed. You see every desire of every heart. We just desire your personal ministration to each and every one of us, Lord. And to them that haven't come this night, we pray the same to them. Minister grace unto them at this time, we pray. Stir up the hearts of your people, them that could have been here this night but chose otherwise. I pray that you'd minister grace unto them. I pray that you'd stir them up. Bring them along, and I pray that you'd visit them upon this weekend. And every need that we have, Father, may you minister grace unto it, Lord. Even Brother Barry, I pray you'd anoint him. I pray that you'd give him unction and grace. I pray, Lord, that you'd lead him and guide him. Give him your special guidance. I pray, Lord, that you'd bring unto us a word in season once again. In each of the services, speak unto us, Lord. I do pray, Father, grant us that grace. Pray for traveling mercies. I pray for mercy in all of our arrangements. I pray, Lord, that you'd watch over us in all that we do. I pray that your blood would speak on our behalf for every shortcoming and failing. But I pray, Jesus, let your will be done. And Lord, may we make you welcome is our desire. May we worship thee, Lord. Bless the musicians. Lord, bless the song leaders. May you give them grace and mercy, Lord, that we may bless your name as we'd come unto these services, we'd pray. Bless every item, Lord, we'd ask. And Father, stir up your people that as we'd come to the end of these services, we'd say it was good. That, Father, surely you did something for us. And Father, may you be given the glory as our desire. Bless us now as we'd go. Watch over us, Lord. Help us in the day that lays ahead to guard our hearts, to be careful in the way that you walk. And Father, may you lead us, Lord. Give us a burden, Father, and guide us. Lord, just encourage the people that need to be encouraged at this time. Give us patience one with another. Grant us mercy. Be with the mothers that are at home with the children. May you watch over them and bless them at this time, we pray. Them that are at work, Father, do pray that you'd minister grace unto them. Them that would come in from different places this weekend, Lord, just let your will be done. I do pray for Sister Sharon, Lord, as she'd be delivering this week. I pray that you'd grant her grace. I pray that you'd watch over her. Father, bless Brother Tom. Bless his saints. Anybody that would come, give them traveling mercies as well. Bring us together, Lord. Give us unity in purpose, unity in heart. And Father, your will be done, we ask. Father, these prayers, Lord, Sister Dubi's father, Lord, the saints have prayed. Jesus, we bring it up unto thee. Now, Father, we just wait upon thee, Lord, with an expectation that by your grace, you'll minister grace to that situation. Brother Vitalis, Father, I pray for him as well. Father, may you grant grace and mercy unto him at this time, we pray. And each and every request, Lord, Brother Mike, Lord, raise him up, we ask. Bring him. Brother Scott, strengthen him this weekend. Father, be with us now, we ask, with the desire to depart in the name of Jesus and for your glory. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. Meet you on the weekend by the grace of God.
Ask me not, O Gentiles, Savior, my humble I'll call.